Live from the Annex Wealth Management Studios at The Avenue in downtown Milwaukee, it's time to Fast Forward. Welcome to the future of almost everything in Wisconsin on the upswing. Presented by Oricon Bank, the natural choice for all your banking needs. Joining WTMJ's Jeff Sherman, here's Steve Blinn and Martin Moore.
Good morning, Wisconsin. Good morning, Milwaukee. The future of almost everything. This is it. Commerce Community Analysis on local and national issues, unique technology trends, a couple takes here and there, some entertainment insights, and much, much more. Always honored to be joined by Steve Glenn from MISO Experience Milwaukee. Text MKE, Martin Moore from COS, content creator. Just totally knowledgeable on the technology and community building scene here in Milwaukee. Always a fun Thursday show. Today, we're going to look into the world of online reviews and how they continue to change. We'll talk a little bit about housing, hot restaurants, maybe some hot chicken, and much, much more, including at the end of the show, a special guest appearance from Linda Welsh. Linda is the president and CEO of Sharp Literacy. The organization's annual novel event is next Wednesday. We'll learn all about it and hear a little bit about Wisconsin-based Codebaby, whose CEO will be the featured speaker at the event. Excited to talk to Linda. She's very passionate about what they do at Sharp Literacy, and from a recruitment and retention lens and a business focus, teaching kids to be their best selves is truly important for the entire market and the entire state. All right, as we do each and every morning, let's go to Up.
Now it's time for the
1, 2, 2, 2 Up
on the upswing.
First up, we all need our morning coffee, so new coffee for you. I've heard about this project, I heard about it about 3 years ago, so I'm really happy to see that it's becoming a reality and work has begun. Idle Coffee Roasters, it's IDYLL, Idle Coffee Roasters has started to take shape along West North Avenue in Wauwatosa with an aim to open in June of 2025. The owners and married couples are Karen Kurgan and Peter Sonnell and Amy Tamburino, who is, stay with me here. Amy is Peter's sister, and then Amy's husband, David Tamburino, all shared plans with the village of Tosa in the spring of 2023 to buy vacant building on 63rd and North Avenue, and they've been working on that build out for a while. It sat there vacant since 2014. They have plans to build an 8,500 square foot project with 150 seats, including a cafe, a roastery, and wholesale production. Karen worked for Altera, which became Colectivo for years, has 20 years of experience in the coffee business. Always a dream for them to build and create their own coffee shop, coming to 63rd and North Avenue in, we're kind of right there on the border of Milwaukee and Wauwatosa. Always love to see entrepreneurs following their vision and making things happen. Definitely a project to keep your eye on. Next up, it is Bucks tip-off week. So it makes you think, how can we upgrade Fiserv Forum? I saw this morning on X from Joe Pompliano. If you watched the Bucks game, after the Bucks game last night, the Clippers debuted their $2 billion arena and hosted their first game. They lost in overtime by 3 to the Phoenix Suns. But the Intuit Dome has instantly become one of the world's most technology advanced arenas. Owner Steve Ballmer has spared no expenses when it came to fans. Just let me give you a little rundown of what this new stadium has. They signed a 23-year, $500 million naming rights deal with Intuit before the arena even opened. The arena has 1,160 toilets. That's 3 times more than the average NBA arena, and it means there's one toilet for every 15 seats. How's you make that? That's pretty advanced.
Boy, I like that.
Good odds.
All concession stands have the same menu, to minimize decision making.
Ew.
And they have the contactless grab and go via Amazon that, you know, Fiserv has for certain places. But they've kind of crystallized that menu and made it easier for fans to grab and go. I'm not quite sure about that, but some of the upscale items may be missing, but I'm sure they're available in other parts of the arena. They also spent millions of dollars to upgrade the city's traffic control systems to make sure it's easy in, easy out. The arena has already secured several big events, the 2026 NBA All-Star Game and the 28 LA Olympics, which basketball will be played there. And they took I think they maybe took this page from the Bucks and the old Squad 6. Right behind one of the hoops, the Clippers built out this student section style seating on one end of the floor. It has 51 rows of uninterrupted seating from floor to ceiling, and it's called the wall. And you're not allowed to sit there if you're a fan of the opposing team. So a pretty cool college-type atmosphere in this arena that is all about technology and all about creating home court advantage. But they lost their first home game there.
Bucks won.
And the Bucks won. So I like to see, you know, what's happening in arenas around the area because everyone's going to follow, right? Mm-hmm. Also at this new arena, all the seats are heated. They have USB ports to charge phones.
Wait,
and they have massage settings.
What the heck?
Yes. So it is super high-end no matter where you are in the arena.
Wow.
All right. Something to keep an eye on. How do we continue to innovate and excel in all of our venues across the area? This is The Upswing. We're looking at the future of almost everything on the show. Coming up next, first, Mineshaft giveaway. Next, online reviews and how they're about to change. I'm Jeff Sherman. This is The Upswing. You're listening to WTMJ. Welcome back to The Upswing. I'm Jeff Sherman. Let's give away a gift card to the Mineshaft restaurant in either beautiful downtown Hartford or just off of Highway 41 near the EAA in Oshkosh. Both locations are full of creativity, really cool dining rooms to explore. That's why they call it the Mineshaft. Super affordable, a ton of fun, and really family friendly. Our kids love it. Your kids will love it. The grandkids will love it. World-class game room that's set aside conveniently kind of upstairs, so it's away from the dining area. You can sit down, you can have your drink, you can have your dinner. The kids can have a whole lot of fun up in the game room. Kids under 5 eat for free Monday through Thursday from the kids menu, and every Thursday when you buy one, get one when you buy one pizza, you get a second pizza for free. That's always on Thursdays. Caller number... let's do caller number 6, 855-616-1620, gets a gift card to the historic Mineshaft. All right, I wanted to talk about online reviews because this is a space that you're both in. The Federal Trade Commission is kind of keeping it real with online reviews, if you will. It is now officially not okay to publish fake reviews online.
Just now.
But that's why I want to talk about this.
It's a little late.
Yes. What's the enforcement going to look like? So the FTC issued the rule in August banning the sale or purchase of online reviews. The rule, which went into effect this Monday, allows the agency now to seek civil penalties against those who knowingly violate it. Fake reviews not only waste people's time and money, but they pollute the marketplace and divert business away from honest competitors, said FTC chair Leah Kahn. Now, when you look at the FTC and you look at online reviews, first, just what are some red flags that you see that are just, these are fake?
You go, Steve. I could go on a diatribe about this.
Let's hear it.
Yeah, you're in the space every day selling headphones.
I mean, red flags are anything that, like, so Amazon is a big one. And one of the problems with this FTC rule is that they're going to try and penalize people who live here, United States. All of the fake reviews, at least on, like, Amazon and even a lot of other sites, they're coming from China, from India, from all these countries that just have machines of people with. Have you ever seen where they have like all the phones and stuff like that and create bots? There's nothing they're going to be able to do to combat that. But one of the things you can look for, at least on Amazon, is see if it's a verified review. If it's not a verified review, you know that it's spam. Spelling errors, like big time grammar errors, stuff like that is typically what I look for when I'm trying to flag something. But I mean, it's tough. It's really, really, really tough. And a lot of times too, you'll see on Amazon, you'll look up a product, a light for camping, and it'll have all these great reviews. But then you scroll down and you see the product used to be something else. It used to be a book, which would get great reviews.
Yeah.
And then they switch it to an electronic product that's a piece of junk. And then it gets to keep all the reviews. It's a it's a crazy machine how fake reviews work.
Yeah. Do you buy on reviews?
Do we?
Do you buy things? Do you?
Oh, when you start your buying
based
jerseys.
Based on reviews?
Yeah.
Typically, but I mean, reviews are so subjective, whether it's a hotel or because you're getting people that complain. Think of all the products you buy that you had a great experience with. Are you really going to go on Amazon? Are you really going to go on Yelp or OpenTable and leave a review? Probably not.
Well, if you're comparing and contrasting, though, a review may sway you one way or the other.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean,
what do you think about the rule inadvertently kind of making it harder for new businesses to build an online presence? And, you know, reviews and social content are so important for new products.
Sure. But you should get those organically. You know, you shouldn't, as a new business, whether you're selling a product or a service, you shouldn't be buying fake reviews because people will find out. If it's a good product, if it's a good service, you promote it, you market it, and you'll get the negative ones, but you also get the majority of good ones. I mean, with costs, since I've been there, we've launched so many products, and I've had to go through that experience where bots or competitors just pound it with fake reviews, and it's frustrating.
Yeah.
I'll be curious what these new rules can actually do. I'm not very optimistic.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I think that's the thing. Hey. The law is on the books, so to speak, but how now are you going to enforce it? And the fact that it's there, hopefully, will have some positive effects.
This is like the same types of people that are trying to like get rid of like robocalls and robotext and all that stuff. Like, I just don't trust any of these agencies to actually make any sort of real difference.
Yes. All right. Well, it'll be interesting to keep an eye on the future of online reviews for sure. When we come back, we want to be about recruitment and retention on the upswing. I got a call probably a month and a half ago from someone that got a new job in downtown Milwaukee and was asking all these questions on where is my best investment? Where should I buy a home in greater Milwaukee right now? I'm going to have you guys chime in on the future of real estate in greater Milwaukee. This is The Upswing, and you're listening to WTMJ. Welcome back to The Upswing. I'm Jeff Sherman. How's a shower and tub space look in your home? If it looks a little scary, you know, even if it doesn't look scary and you're just thinking, all right, I need to renovate my bathroom. I need to get this old tub or shower out of this house. Thankfully, WTMJ and Sidex have paired together to give away a tub or shower conversion. It's your chance to get a full makeover valued up to $10,000. All you need to do is take a picture. You text that picture, you text creepy to the WTMJ talking text line at 855-616-1620. Submit that picture and you could win a full conversion from our good friends at Sidex. Full contest rules are on the WTMJ website, WTMJ.com. All right, so maybe you're buying an old house. Maybe it doesn't have the optimal bathroom, but, you know, you're still like,
scary.
Yeah. I need to get a home in the greater Milwaukee area. I got a call from a friend who had a friend of his that was moving to the metro area, working in downtown, and was asking me all his questions about all the different communities. Mm-hmm. Said, all right, they have a young child on the way. I think they had a two-year-old. And then another child on the way. And we're like, where do we live?
Mm-hmm.
What do you say to that person that's moving to Metro Milwaukee and wants to buy their first home?
Look at the look on his face. You can just tell he's got, I want to hear it.
No, you go.
So I could be late to the game on this.
Yeah.
What I'm hearing a lot of talk about right now is South Milwaukee and Cudahy.
Mm-hmm.
As like up and coming, trendy area around the city.
I just had a developer talk to me about South Milwaukee recently. So you got to keep an eye on that strip because there's a lot of small businesses, a new wine bar, a new coffee bar coming, and they're kind of, I want to say,
want to be the third ward, but they're becoming a destination where they're downtown, and that's what people really attach to.
And they're older people who are, you know, turning over in the neighborhood, and a lot of young couples with young kids are moving in.
All right. Yeah. I love that.
So that would
that
be
take.
My pick, yeah.
All right. Martin?
I mean, I kind of have to agree, as much as I love, you know, Milwaukee County and the city. There's just not a lot of inventory if you're looking for a house.
Yeah.
I mean, me and my wife have been looking for a condo and a house for the last decade and just can't seem to find anything.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I have to tend to agree. I love, like, St. Francis, Cudahy area.
Mm-hmm.
I fully plan on retiring at, what is it, St. Francis on the Lake?
Okay. All right. That's good. Always looking forward.
Yeah, but I mean, it's affordable. Property taxes are cheaper. Housing is slightly cheaper, and so, but, you know, interest rates are the same everywhere, so that's
and the other kill. Benefit and is you have a very quiet commute.
Yes.
You have the Hohen Bridge.
There you go.
Exactly.
Yeah. That's right.
And
not
you
like
know,
us fools who have to rip through the interchange every
some
day.
Some of the best old school Milwaukee dive bars.
Oh, yeah. Right.
Sprinkled around those neighborhoods.
Yeah. But the availability of homes is still a big challenge. I mean, listings have been really hard to come by, and
you're still overpaying.
Yeah.
And having to outbid people.
Yeah. And I saw this stat the other day that since 2020, the metro area housing market in Milwaukee is up 42.9%. So prices aren't getting any lower.
No.
Then there's a little bit more competition for where people want to be.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You've got to know someone before they put that house up on the market.
Yeah. Or it's gone in 24, 48 hours.
Yep.
All right. Well, thank you for your insights. I always appreciate it. The future of the WNBA is on my mind. And you're looking at kind of possible expansion, definitely in the news as the ownership group of the Bucks have one of a number of different groups that have submitted saying, hey, could this be a possibility in Milwaukee? What do you think from a market standpoint, from a sponsorship standpoint, from a fan standpoint, do we have what it takes for a WNBA franchise in Wisconsin?
I mean, I think so. As someone who has fully ensconced themselves in like Milwaukee Bucks culture, I mean, basketball fans in Wisconsin, you either love it or you kind of just like watch the playoffs. But the people who love it's a massive amount of people. And everyone that I've talked to about this is super excited if we could get a WNBA team. I started watching the WNBA, obviously, when, you know, Caitlin Clark went in like everybody else.
Mm-hmm.
But it's been a blast to watch. And I'd fully welcome another Milwaukee sports team, especially something like that. And just to get the WNBA more money, more eyes, I think it'd be great.
Yeah.
I don't know where they'd play, but...
Well, I mean, that's it. You know, is there enough capacity at Fiserv for another team? Obviously, the season's at a different time.
Yeah.
So, you know.
But that's going to cut into concerts and all the other things that they use Fiserv for. So, Fiserv 4.
Yes.
Fiserv 4 and
Say
4.
Say that 10 times.
Steve, what do you think from a market standpoint?
So, I don't know. I see, like, if you think of the Admirals as maybe it's still our pro hockey team, right?
Mm-hmm.
But still struggles to kind of gain traction with fans. I wonder if that, not, you know, different sports, but if that's going to be the case with another...
Like an NHL team?
Or with a WNBA.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
From a market standpoint, I always say, you know, not the right analogy, but keep swinging for the fences and let's go.
There you go.
Let's give it our best shot. Welcome back to The Upswing. I'm Jeff Sherman, joined by Steve Glenn and Martin Moore. Today, the WNBA has announced 3 expansion teams already, just for clarification on our last topic, Golden State, Toronto, and Portland. But the commissioner has said they want to add one more by 2028. That'd be the 16th franchise, taking it to a record high for the league. So, you know, there's opportunity there for Milwaukee, for sure. You got to go back. I don't know if people remember the Milwaukee Does.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Professional team that played here from 79 to 80.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. And then the Milwaukee Aces were a semi-pro team that played here from 2014 to 2020, played out at Wisconsin Lutheran College. So there is that, you know, there is that growing fan base for sure. But there's also the history, which I think helps the market in its bid for a new team.
You swayed me.
All right.
I'm in. Let's do it. Yeah.
Well, one of the benefits, obviously, of adding another team to downtown is more bars, more restaurants, more development, more density. And that's what the downtown master plan calls for. Mm. So I like the opportunity for sure. And I like to look at it from the lens of area restaurants because the more people they can get in their seats,
sure,
the better for all of us. It was interesting. A couple weeks ago, I sent out a post on Twitter X that simply said, what's one restaurant in the greater Milwaukee area that you truly miss? WTMJ Talk and Text Line is 855-616-1620. This post alone is almost at 18,000 impressions. Wow. And instantly had hundreds of responses.
Oh, yeah.
So that nostalgia for places that have come and gone, whether and no matter why they closed, we attach to our restaurants.
Mm-hmm.
I want to hear the places that you miss,
the memories,
and why.
Why is it Applebee's for you?
It's Hardee's.
Hardee's?
We have the same one. I think our top is Rumpus, right?
Rumpus Room is the one that I miss the most. Rumpus Room in Devon for me.
Okay. And why Rumpus Room? Is that it was a Bartolotta restaurant that was on Water Street, a little bit more casual, kind of a pub fare.
Yeah.
It was like upscaley pubish.
Fun, great vibe, like great energy.
Great and lighting.
And it was perfect for, like, you know, after work stop and or going to the theater.
Yeah. It was just great, affordable food.
Yeah.
A really nice, upscale sort of vibe. Great bourbon selection. Great little bar. I loved it.
The layout was pretty great, too. You didn't feel like you're really, like, on top of people too much. Right. So,
Yeah, that. And then what was your other one?
Soup Brothers.
Yes. Oh, that's a good one.
Yeah. And a close right behind that and a relation to it. Philly Way, which
from.
But La Chinampa is great. That took over the Philly Way space. It's amazing Mexican food.
What when you're looking to try a new restaurant, are you go right in? Are you a little bit more intrepid and say, I need research, I need opinions? Like I was having this conversation with a bunch of teammates here at Good Karma yesterday, and with the so many new restaurants in the area, many people are like, I go where it's most convenient and where I know the menu, and it takes me a while to try a new place.
Yeah, it takes me a while to break out of my pattern because I have a very specific set of places I typically go to, but I love trying new spots and finding excuses to go sit at the bar and get to know the staff.
Yeah.
Two new places that me and Jen tried in the last, you know, 6 months or so, Room Service in
great things.
Absolutely.
Everyone
incredible.
Says it's the hottest restaurant in the area.
It's great. Treat, go there. And then Avli, the new Greek. Mm. I don't know if it's new, but man, that was a tasty little snack.
Mm. Yeah. I mean, I look at places that I miss. It's La Perla.
Oh, yeah.
Which, you know,
right.
I mean,
I about that.
A while ago, 1995.
We're going to depress the listeners.
It opened in 95. It closed, I think, 2022. So it was just such an institution and just had that old school Mexican food vibe and wonderful people.
Yeah. You could hear the party from the street.
Yeah, yes, indeed. Yes. Butcher's Clock Steakhouse, again, kind of an old school steakhouse. Mm-hmm. You know, selfishly, we lived in a condo right above it. So it was pretty easy and we knew the people there.
Yeah.
And then, you know, Soup Brothers, too. I mean, it had that really unique vibe. The great thing is the Soup Brothers recipes are coming downtown to Villar Phillips, and the new Draft and Vessel that's opening there will have Soup Brothers recipes.
Love it.
It's the
ebb and flow of a city. Places come and go, unfortunately, and it's one of those things where when you're young, you don't really experience that impact, but as you get older and, you know, you've been alive for, you know, 30, 40, 50 years, and it sucks. You get used to going to your comfort places, and once they're gone, it sucks. It's heartbreaking sometimes.
Well,
it's where you go at the end of a hard week or a birthday or
a hard day. Yeah.
Anniversary.
We'll hear about all the best places in the area next Monday. Journal Sentinel's restaurant critic, restaurant reviewer, Rachel Bernard, will join the show to talk about her new list of the best restaurants in the area. So I'm excited
there
to get
be
her
one
insights
in Third Street Market Hall.
And her opinions. It's going to be a great show. So that will be Monday on The Upswing. Coming up next, I'm going to tell you where you can get free hot chicken today. This is The Upswing, and you're listening to WTMJ. Welcome back to The Upswing. I'm Jeff Sherman. I mentioned it before the break, so I need to follow through here. Drake and Dave's Hot Chicken are teaming up today to celebrate the music icon's 38th birthday by giving away free chicken today. Anyone that goes to a local Dave's Hot Chicken, scans the reward in the Dave's Hot Chicken app, is going to get a free slider. The deal is today only from 11 a.m. to 9 p.m. locally, just for a little bit of texture here. Since 2021, MR Chicken LLC, owned by Mike Prankey and Ron Stokes, they are the partners in Dave's Hot Chicken in Wisconsin. They also own all the Qdoba restaurants in the area, including one in Arlington Heights, Illinois, Schaumburg, and Des Moines. So it's good for that local investment that brought Dave's Hot Chicken to the market to Menominee Falls in 2022. And now there's one on Ogden just outside of downtown Milwaukee. Dave's Hot Chicken, it's pretty good stuff, and even better when it's free, right?
Yeah. You know what I love? It's fried chicken?
Yes,
yeah. It is. You know what I love more than fried chicken? Free fried chicken.
All right. As we continue to aspire to grow as a community and really drive our recruitment and retention efforts, it's so much about mentoring and kind of moving the next generation forward. So I'm excited to have Linda Welsh, the CEO of Sharp Literacy, in studio this morning. Thanks for coming in, Linda. Appreciate your time.
Thanks for having me.
Teaching and imparting our knowledge on the next generation, that's so important, and that's what you do each and every day. So for those that are unfamiliar with the organization, just give us the lay of the land of what you do at Sharp.
Sure. Gosh, we've been around for 25, 26 years.
Okay.
Our mission is that we partner with educators to foster a love of learning and brighten children's futures through our innovative STEAM-based programming and so that's what we do. We're K-3 through fifth grade.
Okay.
This year we'll be in 49 schools, Milwaukee Public Schools. We're in charter and choice and school district of Waukesha. Our program is really designed, to have students, spark their curiosity and love of learning. And our programs are exactly that, innovative.
Mm-hmm.
So we have our third grade students doing video game design. They're learning coding. Our fourth grade students are doing AI, which will be actually highlighted at our novel event next week. Our fifth graders are doing all sorts of engineering, and they're using micro bits, all that really cool stuff. And it's really to level the playing field with our students, and all urban schools, underserved students. About 88% of our students qualify for the free or reduced lunch program, which is an indication of high poverty. But it's an amazing program, and we're just really excited that we can provide this to the schools at no cost.
So the keynote speaker, you have an event next week, next Wednesday at the Pfister Hotel. Code Baby CEO is the keynote for that event. Tell us a little bit about Code Baby for those that don't know.
Yeah, so Code Baby is a Milwaukee-owned company. And Nori, who is the CEO, had been in different positions throughout his career. Attorney, he was at Medavante, and just really wanted to do something different. And so he started Code Baby, and it's really creating avatars, which is amazing. So that's what our students, so Nori and his folks had worked with our students at St. Aug Prep, who's been a great, great partner of Sharp's for a long time. And they learned AI, they learned how to create avatars and how they work. And, it was just amazing to see them. I was at the school the other day, and the avatars that they create, one was all about, weather. One was about the Milwaukee Brewers. So they can create whatever they want to create. And then they ask questions to the avatar. And it was amazing. One of the little boys wanted to, it was about a 30 degree direction. Mm-hmm. And he's like, oh my gosh, how do you know that? And, it's just giving these kids experiences that they wouldn't have without Sharp.
Linda Welsh from Sharp Literacy. We'll be right back, and we'll talk a little bit about how the market has changed in your 12 years at Sharp and your career in nonprofit management in Greater Milwaukee. Wow. Welcome back to The Upswing. I'm Jeff Sherman, joined by Martin Moore. Linda Welsh is the CEO of Sharp Literacy. So, Linda, next Wednesday, correct, is the 23rd year for a novel event, your big showcase event that is at the Pfister Hotel?
It's at the Pfister Hotel, yes, right. On October 30th.
Okay.
Nori Daroga will be our keynote speaker, who is the founder of Code Baby. And it'll be a very interactive event. So we're going to have the kids on stage that created these avatars.
Okay.
And they'll be able to interact nice. With them. And it really gives us a chance to highlight, you know, what we're doing in the classroom and what kind of experiences that we're yeah. providing for these students.
And then importance of that STEAM-based education, the video games, the programming, the avatars. I mean, Martin, you're seeing this each and every day in your space. Like, kids... Wow, I'm coming in with all this technology. How can I plug in to new careers?
Absolutely. I mean, it's great for not all kids in school systems and families and communities have access to this sort of education. And the world that our kids are going to grow up in and work in 10, 15, 20 years from now is going to be very different than the world we live in right now. And so to give them these tools and this knowledge and the opportunity to learn some of these skills, they'll be set up by the time they graduate high school, and they might be able to get a career or a job without having to take out a student loan. And so I think this is an absolutely outstanding program.
Yeah. Well, I mean, speaking of change, and Linda, you've been in the market for a long time, 12 years now at Sharp, and kind of a career in nonprofit management. What's changed the most in the greater Milwaukee area in the last 10 years?
10 years. Yeah. It's probably more about differentiating what you do and how you do it and staying relevant, especially in the education arena. You know, we went through COVID and how we had to really kind of shift gears a little bit. And even we started off it was actually 14 years, I think. And, but anyways, 14 years ago, it was really more of an arts program. But yeah. we heard from our donors, we really need to, our focus is on STEM education. So we had to change gears and start, creating a STEAM-based program.
And how are you measuring that impact then day to day?
We have different measurements. A lot of it is really about the essential skills, perseverance, teamwork, collaboration, how they're doing on a code.org, which is a platform. Are they getting it done? Are they doing it correctly? So we do teacher surveys. Mm-hmm. Teachers are very, very important to our program. So we do teacher surveys and net promoter score. There's different measures depending on what the program is.
All right. And where can people get more information about Wednesday's program?
Sharpliteracy.org. And if you can't make it, there's opportunities for volunteering as well as donating.
Very good. I appreciate your time and keep up all the great work.
Thank you.
Truly inspirational. Martin, where are we meeting before the Bucks game tomorrow?
Oh, God, that's right. I have no idea.
Okay, all right.
I don't want to say Mecca because that's so like cliche, but
The game. Tomorrow on the show, the owners of the new fashion at Deer District and Mike Ballot, who's the senior vice president of Bucks Ventures and Development, will join in the show talking about what's new in the Deer District, their Lululemon partnership, and much, much more.
These are your business headlines from the Milwaukee Business Journal.
Plans for 710 new apartments near the Pleasant Prairie Premium Outlets in Kenosha County are moving forward. The Chicago developer behind the project still needs more approvals from the Village of Pleasant Prairie, but construction could start as soon as spring 2025. Fiserv announced a deal with DoorDash that will have the Milwaukee-based digital banking giant providing the technology behind DoorDash's Crimson program. The program provides financial services to DoorDash delivery drivers directly through the app. Voodoo Brewing plans to open a taproom and brewery in downtown Delafield's new grain building in January. It's the first Wisconsin chance franchise for the Pennsylvania-based brewery, which has locations in 10 states. I'm Teddy Nykel for the MilwaukeeBusinessJournal.com on 620 WTMJ.